Andrew Kelleher of JMI Wealth is with us. Morning, Andrew.
G'day, Heather.
Right. Okay. So, as expected, OCR is being held.
Yep.
What do you reckon is the story here?
Yeah, so it wasn't that exciting in the end, was it? You know, they left the OCR unchanged. That was the market expectation. So, and a lot of that's been well covered since it came out yesterday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Yeah, where does it actually leave us? You know, what's the story? I think as ever, sort of taking a wee step back is important. Where are we in the bigger picture and the whole sort of economic interest rate cycle? Because the thing is, Heather, we're in the home straight now for the run of interest rate cuts, assuming the economy sort of pans out how the central bank thinks it does. So the waiting for interest rate cuts, that's mostly in the rear vision mirror. We're pretty much there. We're in the zone now where we get the benefit of these lower fixed rate mortgages. So the extra dollars will now start flowing into people's pockets. That continues from now sort of through to Christmas for the bulk of the fixed rate mortgages out there. So I think we can legitimately start asking the question, where's the extra economic activity? Where is it? Because, you know, that's part of the story. Another key feature is that if we don't get that lift, you know, will the economy cool even more? So we'll need the OCR lower down into the mid twos. And maybe we need that final push, that last sort of 25 or 50 basis points, because parts of the economy they're not doing very well. They're kind of in trouble. And this inflation lift that we're going to see over the next 6 months, sort of staying the hand of the central bank. So, yeah, look, for the record, I mean, those are sort of kind of random thoughts, I suppose. But for the record, we got what I think is well described as a dovish pause. It's possible we'll see further easings. Inflation pressures are broadly in line with the bank's expectations, and the bank's mindful in the short term that inflation outcomes move higher. You know, close to the top of that target inflation band, we get a 2.7, a 2.8, 2.9 before it subsides again. Uncertainty, key economic theme of 2025, can't escape it. You look at the record of the meeting, Heather. You should always read the record of the meeting. That's where the good stuff is. There was debate over a pause or a cut, so healthy, robust debate, we hope. They did end up with a consensus decision, so no messy RBA vote. I think the odds are good for an August cut. They need the data to support it. But in all fairness, Heather, I mean, it's a tough job making a well-informed call on how the global situation pans out, given these somewhat, you know, unconventional approach to policy announcement and policy implementation that we're seeing from the US that will continue to impact global trade and global growth. Market reaction was pretty benign, Heather. We did see interest rates creep up a little bit, but then they came back down. Dollar sort of strengthened, then it came back. So market took it all pretty much in their stride.
What are you seeing in China's inflation?
Yeah, so look, let's look out, you know, rather than in. We keep focusing on US trade policy. We keep focusing on US tariffs. But yesterday we got a wee reminder of the state of the economy. And let's not forget our largest trading partner, China. And we're talking about inflation and interest rates here. Yesterday we got CPI, that's Consumer Price Index inflation, and PPI inflation in China. PPI inflation is like, think inflation for businesses. Now, their CPI year on year came out at 0.1%, which is basically zero, isn't it? But their producer price inflation, this is, as I said, think business inflation, negative 3.6. Mm. Yes, negative inflation, and not just a little bit, but minus 3.6, that's a lot. So the CPI number was actually a touch higher than people expected. They thought it was going to come out dead flat. That minus 3.6 PPI inflation, largest decline since July 2023, it speaks to a price war going on in China, given very weak consumer demand. In other words, a moribund economy that's still being knocked around by problems in the property market, and now, of course, the global trade issue and sort of issues with exporting to the US. Core CPI 0.7 does suggest a little bit more demand than the headline number, but, you know, we've just got to keep an eye. That is, as I keep saying, that's our largest trading partner. If the global trade issue keeps that economy weak, that's not good for us.
Yeah, fair point. Listen, it sucks to be Jerome Powell at the moment, doesn't it?
Oh, my God, the political pressure on poor old Federal Reserve Chair Governor Powell. I've never seen anything like this, Heather. So now, not only is Trump all piling in on Powell now, Scott Bessent is piling in on him as well. And look, they may have a point. Maybe he should be dropping the interest rates there. But it's really problematic for financial markets if we lose trust and confidence in the Federal Reserve. This story will stay in the news and it could get a little bit ugly.
All right, give me the numbers.
Yeah, Dow Jones up 169 points, 0.38%, 44,409. The S&P 500 up 24 points, that's 0.4%, 6250. And you talked about NVIDIA. What trade war? Who's worried about that? NVIDIA, $4 trillion, lifting the NASDAQ, 20,565, up 146 points. That's about 0.75%. The FTSE 100 up 13 points overnight, 8867. The Nikkei up 0.33%, 39821. Shanghai Composite down 4, 3493. The Aussies yesterday lost 0.6%, 8538. The close there, we lost 90 points in the NZX 50, 12,768. The currencies, Kiwi dollar, 0.5994 US, 0.9171 Aussie, 0.5119 against the euro, 0.441 ago against the pound, 87.72 Japanese yen. Gold, $3,308, and Brent crude, $70.39.
Excellent stuff. Thanks so much, Matt. You have yourself, Andrew, you have yourself a lovely morning. Andrew Callaher of JMI Wealth.